Hi friends, welcome to my daily update videos. Hey, in a moment I'm going to begin a new series all about prayer for the next four weeks. I'm going to have three videos a week all about the subject of prayer, and I really want to unpack this. I'll be teaching about this in my churches in New England, in Ireland, as I do ministry there, all about supernatural prayer. In effect, my challenge is actually to rethink prayer, to come back and look at it in a completely different way. But hey, before we do that, let me give you a few quick practicals as well. Firstly, if you are new to my YouTube channel, why don't hit the subscribe button down there. Check out our subscribe to that. We have a daily audio podcast as well. Both of these messages from my churches in New England, from the road as I travel, from my school, lots of different audio resources there. So I know that will be a blessing to you. What can I also mention? Hey, this coming Friday, so March the 3rd, I'm going to be doing a service in Brattleboro, Vermont, in Healing Grace Church at 7 p.m. This coming Sunday, I'll be here in Sturbridge Worship Center at 10 a.m., New England Fellowship, 4 p.m., and on Monday, I will be flying to Ireland. I recover on Tuesday. I'm going to be speaking in Liberty Church. I believe that's in Cookstown in Northern Ireland on the Wednesday. Lots of more details on my website anyway. So do check those things out. Lastly, I just want to mention my monthly ministry mentoring group as well. I do a live ministry mentoring call on Zoom the first Saturday of every month. So that will be Saturday, March the 4th will be the next one, and you are invited. Details are on my website. There's a small cost for that, but if the finance is an issue to you at all, drop me a line, let me know, and we'll find a way of making that work for you. Good. So let's talk about prayer. I really want to begin reading a passage here that's really precious to me in a way. In Luke 11 and verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. As we go through this series, we're going to come back to that a lot. I want to look at the prayer life of Jesus. And it says, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Then it says, when he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, as we continue in the series, we're going to read more from Luke 11 there. But I want to begin this new series by challenging you, and actually challenging myself, to think about this. How did Jesus pray? What did the prayer life of Jesus look like? And I want to challenge you, and again, challenge myself, to potentially to let go of some of the thoughts and the preconceptions we have about prayer. If you'll think of these 12 disciples, they were all Jewish. They were all young men. Most of them were probably in their late teens or early 20s. And theoretically, they knew a lot about prayer. They'd grown up in a context where people prayed a lot. Jewish people pray a lot. They still do. One of my favorite movies is the musical Fiddler on the Roof. And there's a point in the movie, or the theater play originally, the musical, where a young man in the village in the Ukraine, this is, buys a sewing machine, and he goes to the rabbi of the village and he says, Rabbi, is there a prayer for sewing machines? And the rabbi looks a little bit confused for a moment. Then he's, of course there's a prayer. There's a prayer for everything. Of course there's a prayer for sewing. And Jewish people know how to pray. I mean, they pray and they're very loud and demonstrative in the way they pray. But I want you to catch this. When Jesus prayed, something was different. When Jesus prayed, something else happened. When Jesus prayed, it wasn't like other people prayed. You know, the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, when you speak, you don't speak. You know, excuse me, the disciples came to him and said, when you speak, you don't speak like the Pharisees and the scribes do. You know, they speak and nothing happens. When you speak, demons scream. When you speak, limbs get straightened. When you speak, blind eyes open. When you speak, things happen. And I want you to see this. I believe these disciples came and they've been around Jesus now for a few weeks, probably a few months, up to a year. And they come to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I believe that if there's a really great prayer to pray. I actually think it should be that prayer. I actually think we should be coming and saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And implicit, when somebody comes and says, teach me to do something, implicit in that thought is the idea that they're acknowledging they need help, that they're acknowledging that they are maybe not very good at this, that they need to learn. And there is a humility that I believe God wants us to step into. There's a humility that I believe God wants us to put upon ourselves and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I believe, again, just really beginning this series, that the Lord wants us to let go, to be willing to let go of some of our ideas of prayer. You know, it was Einstein who said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing but expecting different results. I remember years ago, back in probably this would have been 1987, being in a little town in the UK called Leominster, it looks like. There's a clone of it here in New England, but I'm in the original one near Worcester. There's a copy of that as well. In the UK near Gloucester, there's one of those as well. But I'm doing the church plant for the Assemblies of God in this town of Leominster, and I'm in a prayer meeting, and suddenly I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Probably one of the first times I really got a word from God myself. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Graham, Jesus never prayed for the sick. And it really like flabbergasted me. And I'm in this prayer meeting, this thought's just rattling around my heart. Jesus never prayed for the sick. And I begin arguing with God. I'm like, of course Jesus prayed for the sick. We all know that. Everybody knows that. We talk about how Jesus prayed for the sick, Jesus prayed. And I literally remember getting my Bible and I'm blasting through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, speed reading, and I couldn't find a single instance where Jesus prayed for the sick. But I'd had it in my head. I'd been so indoctrinated. I don't mean to imply people were being evil. It's just a religious concept I'd had. And I had to let go, and it was hard to do. God challenged me, Graham, let go of it. Prayer for the sick is not an effective way of ministering to the sick. And it was something I really had to struggle to let go of. And suddenly I began to see the sick healed in my life. Why? Because I went back and I did things his way. I did things the way of the book. I did things the way of the Lord. And my challenge to you in this series is, let's learn to pray. Would you be willing to let go of everything you think you know about prayer and come back and start again and say, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray differently. Let me learn about the way I pray. I think it's Andrew Womack who has a teaching that it says something like, hypocrites love to pray. That's so Andrew Womack. He's not saying you're a hypocrite because you love to pray, but he's actually saying many hypocrites love to pray. And it's actually a quote from Jesus, because Jesus talked about the hypocrites and he said they love to pray. They love to stand there in a place they'll be seen, they'll be rewarded socially for their prayers. And of course, Jesus then goes on to teach about prayer in secret. So, are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to let go of some ideas? What I want to do partly in this series is to kill some sacred cows and to, absolutely slaughter and get rid of some sacred ideas that aren't really that sacred, that aren't that important about prayer. And my basic challenge to you today is this. I want you to come back to a place. I want you to rethink lots of things about prayer. And the first foundation I want you to put in is I believe God always answers prayer. We say that again. I believe God always answers prayer. When I first met my wife in, it would have been 1999 in Paris, France. And I was at a Bible school and we began, dating or getting to know each other. I remember taking my wife out for lunch. She wasn't my wife, my girlfriend, fiance, just met her. We've known each other a few weeks. Took her out for lunch one day. And we started talking about prayer. And I remember her saying to me something like, Father always answers my prayers. And I'm trying to be clever or wise. And I was, he does, but sometimes he says no. My wife she says, no, God always answers my prayers. And we have this little argument about it. I mean, I'm saying, well, you know, yeah, God answers prayers, but he doesn't always. Sometimes we don't know why. Maybe it's not his will. Maybe it's not his timing. And I'm coming up with all these really clever evangelical reasons that you've heard 100 times over about why God doesn't always answer prayer. And okay, we finished our lunch. She left. As she's driving home, she called me on a cell phone and she said, I need to apologize. I said, why? She said, I just remembered a time when I was a little girl, I prayed a prayer and it never got answered. And I said, well, what was it? She said, when I was a little girl, I just had this like a flashback. I remember asking Jesus to give me a pink bike, a pink bicycle, and I never got one. And I was like, ah. Oh. And I started being wise, you know. Said, well, maybe in the mighty wisdom of God, God knew that. She was like, no, when you pray, Father answers your prayers. And again, we had another argument. I think she hung up on me. Do you know, she drove to where she was living, her parents' home in that time, a little village called Boissy-l'Aillerie outside of Paris. And when she parked the car, the outside of her parents' house was a box with her name on it. True story. In the box was a child's brand new pink bicycle. Now, my wife was probably, I want to say 23, 24 at the time. My wife's 6'1". She couldn't have ridden the bicycle if she would have tried the little kid's bike. But that's how much God cares for us. God answers prayer. And my challenge to you today is I want you to let go of a lot of religious ideas. I want you to let go of a lot of baggage. I want you to let go of a lot of clever, you know, Christian ease, non-Bible reasons about prayer. And I want you to come back to, here's how I believe Jesus actually lived. I believe Jesus lived in this life where when he prayed, the Father heard and the Father answered. He didn't think of a million excuses. He didn't have 100 clever reasons. When he prayed, he always expected results. If I drop this Bible, if I were to let go of it, bonk, I believe gravity will pull. Gravity isn't a force, we know, but you know, the Bible will fall to the floor or to the table in front of me. I'm not hoping, I'm not trying to, I pray, oh God, Lord, please make the gravity deal work. I know that if I drop this, it's going to fall. And I believe God wants us to be in that same place where we know that when we pray according to his will, based on his word, that we will have the petition we have desired of him. 1 John 5:18. Boom. We're going to be back tomorrow with another lesson. But just today, do some business with God. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to let go of all of my baggage. And let's come on this journey, this school of prayer together. Thanks for watching, guys. Hey, again, encourage you to check out my itinerary, My Churches New England. Hit that subscribe button. And lots of great things on our website. If we can pray for you or there's something going on we can help you with, let us know. We are there for you. And I'll be back tomorrow. Bye for now.